President Trump believes that Kim Jong-un has an unprecedented opportunity to change the trajectory of our relationship and bring peace and prosperity to his country.
U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un meet in Singapore. It's Tuesday, June 12th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, summit analysis from a former U.S. official who spoke with the North Koreans. Indian farmers protest on a mission in Myanmar. Seaweed-based sunscreen and swimming the Pacific Ocean. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un have met face-to-face for a historic handshake, the first ever between current leaders of both nations. Hundreds of pictures were taken as President Trump and Mr. Kim took their seats and made brief, unscripted comments to the media.
We're going to have a great discussion, and I think tremendous success. They've been tremendously successful, and it's my honor, and we will have a terrific relationship.
Well, it was not easy to get here.
우리한테 이 발목을 잡는 그 과거가 있고 또 그릇된 국민과 발행들이 우리 때로는 우리 눈과 귀를 가리고 있었는데 우리 모든 것을 이겨내고 이 자리까지 왔습니다.
The past month as fetters on our limbs and the old prejudices and practices worked as obstacles on our way forward, but we overcame all of them and we are here today.
That's true.
어른 말씀입니다.
The two men began a one-on-one private meeting in Sentosa Island in Singapore with only a personal translator present for each. On the eve of the encounter, American officials maintained any resulting agreement must lead to an end of North Korea's nuclear weapons and ballistic missile threats. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told reporters there will not be a repeat of flimsy agreements made between previous U.S. administrations and North Korea. He did not reveal any details of the preliminary discussions that were held between the United States and North Korean officials, but Pompeo was very optimistic the meeting between Trump and Kim will have a successful outcome.
He has made it clear that if Kim Jong-un denuclearizes, there is a brighter future for North Korea. Tomorrow, we will get our clearest indication to date of whether Chairman Kim Jong-un truly shares this vision.
Pompeo added sanctions will remain until North Korea completely and verifiably eliminates its weapons of mass destruction programs.
President Trump believes that Kim Jong-un has an unprecedented opportunity to change the trajectory of our relationship and bring peace and prosperity to his country. We are hopeful this summit will have set the conditions for future productive talks.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis said he does not believe a reduction of U.S. troop numbers on the Korean Peninsula is up for discussion. Meanwhile, the special national security advisor to South Korean President Moon Jae-in said in Tokyo during a panel discussion on North Korea that North Korea's past action should not be used to try to predict its future behavior. Moon Jae-in's comments came a day before that high-stakes meeting in Singapore. Moon said the United States had blamed North Korea for breaking promises regarding its nuclear program in the past, but that it would have different views. Moon said now is the time to set aside all those things. Let us see whether North Korea can deliver what the United States wants and the entire world wants. It is unclear to the extent human rights issues are being discussed in meetings with the North Koreans. Trump also spoke by telephone with South Korean President Moon Jae-in prior to the meeting with Kim. And Trump is said to have told Moon he would send Secretary of State Pompeo to Seoul immediately after the summit to explain its outcome. About 5,000 journalists gathered in Singapore for the summit, with only a handful of American and North Korean reporters and photographers permitted at the venue as the two leaders greeted each other. These are among some of the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. The United States says talks with North Korea moving more quickly than expected. South Korea advisor says North Korea's past action is no indication of future behavior. Rights concerns shouldn't be sidelined at Trump-Kim summit, activists warn. You'll find expanding coverage of these stories, and as always, a whole lot more on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. With us on the line now from Singapore, White House correspondent Steve Herman. Steve, that was quite a visual sight to see Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un shaking hands.
It is a historic handshake, a handshake that many, many people thought would never happen. But it is something that both the U.S. president and the North Korean leader had committed to doing. And as you know, there were a number of hitches along the way. Trump at one point calling this meeting off. When we saw the motorcades both moving towards the island of Sentosa this morning, then we knew for certain it was going to happen.
The body language between the two men was also pretty extraordinary. A lot of smiles and very close to each other.
At first, when they were getting out of their respective cars, they had their game faces on. Kim Jong-un did look a bit tense, but when they finally met, there was obviously the realization in both of them that they had achieved something against pretty long odds, and I think they were both very proud for standing there face to face. And then they went in and had that 45-minute meeting with just interpreters before there was the extended meeting. And the initial comments by President Trump has been that things are going very well and they are going to achieve something historic. Reporters did shout some questions at Kim Jong-un, who we know does speak some English, saying, "Are you going to give up your nukes?" And he did not reply to those questions. Definitely a new experience for him coming out of a country where he absolutely controls his entire media, and no North Korean reporter would ever dare shout a question at their leader. So a little bit of democratic journalism in action confronting Kim Jong-un today.
For our longtime listeners, Steve Herman was our Northeast Asia bureau chief based in Seoul. Steve, we know historically no sitting U.S. president would dare try to meet the North Korean leader.
Not without some significant concessions. And President Trump, in fact, was criticized by a lot of people. He made note of that on Twitter today, that essentially giving the leader of one of the poorest and most repressive countries in the world, this meeting with the leader of the most powerful country in the world, was giving away something without getting something in return. And President Trump's been on the defensive about that. He noted the release of three Americans who had been unfairly imprisoned in North Korea as a goodwill gesture leading up to this. And for a lot of people that have been observing the Korean Peninsula, and somebody like me who spent years in South Korea and had traveled and reported from North Korea, it is definitely something historic. But now the hard work will really begin.
And just that term, denuclearization, is a major sticking point because both sides have a different view of it.
Sure. The U.S. administration's been pretty clear about what that means, complete verifiable and irreversible dismantlement of North Korea's nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. But for the North Koreans, it appears they have a different interpretation, and that would include removal of U.S. strategic assets from South Korea that are capable of bringing nuclear weapons in, be those submarines or aircraft, those sort of things. And that is something that most people in the U.S. defense community will say is inconceivable for the foreseeable future.
There are so many issues involved with North Korea, especially within the region, talking about reunification or abductees from other countries, or just the security threat that they pose.
Sure.
This is going to be a process. This is actually the first step in a long process. And President Trump has even mentioned possibly inviting Kim Jong-un to the White House.
Yes, we would expect if things go well today that there would have to be some sort of follow-up. There's also been speculation that the president and might go to Pyongyang. But there are very sticky issues here, as you mentioned. And the other day at the G7 summit, when the president came out and made remarks, I did ask him point blank about human rights and about the gulags in North Korea and the issue of the Japanese who were abducted by North Korea over the decades. And would he bring that up with Kim Jong-un here? And he said everything will be raised. But we have heard other reports that this is something he was not going to bring up today. The president will certainly be asked that question again when he has what we think will be a news conference later in the day.
Steve Herman, formerly our Northeast Asia Bureau Chief, now currently our White House Bureau Chief. Steve, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thousands of farmers across Indian states have been throwing vegetables and milk on highways and roads in an unusual protest to highlight farm distress that they say has driven them into debt. The growing rural crisis is emerging as a major challenge for Prime Minister Narendra Modi as the country prepares for next year's general elections. Anjana Pasricha visited northern Haryana state to meet with the farmers.
Infuriated at having to sell their produce at throwaway prices, farmers dumped vegetables on a highway in Hisar in Haryana state. Dalu Ram is among the thousands who have joined the dramatic 10-day protest being held across 8 Indian states. His hopes rose when he harvested a good crop from his 3.5-acre plot, but a slump in prices meant no profit.
The seeds, fertilizers, and pesticides are expensive. The price I got for my crop is much lower. That is why I'm so distressed.
Farmers say crop prices have failed to keep pace with the huge hike in input and labor costs over the last decade. Those with small plots of land are the worst hit. Mahinder Singh Punia, who led the protest in Hisar, echoes what many farm economists say. Lacking direct access to markets and consumers, small farmers sell through a complex layer of intermediaries and get little benefit of high retail prices in towns and cities.
It is the markets who make the money. We sell at about 8 cents per kilogram and it sells for 40 cents. It is the middlemen who rake in the profits.
It is not easy for farmers to see their hard labor strewn on the road, says Vikas Sisar, another farm leader. But he says they want authorities to understand that farming is no longer profitable.
The government should ensure that the farmer gets at least 50% more than he invests, and all their loans taken from banks should be waived.
That demand is resounding across the countryside among farmers, both old and young. 30-year-old Mukesh Kumar's story is a common one. He turned to farming his small patch of land when he failed to find a job after graduating. The rich soil and ample water in Hisar made him confident of easily repaying the loan he took to sow his crop. But after 8 years, his debt has nearly doubled.
I have no option left but to sell my land. The bank calls me daily. How can I repay the loan of
$2,400? Prime Minister Narendra Modi has vowed steps to double farm incomes by 2022. But with their produce fetching few returns, farmers appear to be in no mood to wait. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, Hisar, Haryana.
Coming up, a new mission for Myanmar Aid Group. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or Take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news from VOA Asia, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the United States is willing to offer North Korea security guarantees if it embarks on a complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization. Extensive meetings between the two nations have been held in advance of the Trump-Kim summit. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the Free Burma Rangers, a faith-based aid group, has conducted relief missions in Myanmar for the past 20 years. It's led by founder and former U.S. Special Forces and Ranger officer David Eubank. Reporting for VOA, Steve Sanford speaks with Eubank about the growing challenges his group faces, as well as expanding into Rakhine State.
In Myanmar, renewed fighting between government soldiers and ethnic armed groups has brought with it veteran aid workers to help civilians caught up in the conflict. Free Burma Rangers David Eubank is expanding his group's reach to Rakhine State and Bangladesh as he explains the widespread displacement.
What I see happening to Rohingya is a great tragedy. It's not the only one, though. Even though it's a massive attack against these people that have caused this displacement of a million people, this is a fight the Burma Army's been taking to the ethnics for over 60 years.
Eubank and the FBR captured global attention last year with the dramatic rescue of an Iraqi girl while under sniper fire from ISIS in Mosul. Now, back in familiar territory, Eubank brought along a Yazidi general from Sinjar, along with a former Iraqi soldier, both of whom want to help out.
I felt the same way as the Karen people. They are intimidated and killed. It's the same as what happened to our Yazidi people. We have been cleansed by ISIS in Iraq. They attacked and destroyed our village.
Despite its Christian-based roots, Eubank says the Rangers accept all faiths and religions as long as they have the same end goal.
We have Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, Yazidi, animist, all kinds are welcome as long as we're all trying to do something of love.
It's a shared belief with most of the group, including Eubank's 12-year-old son, who gives his straightforward perspective on things.
In Burma and Iraq, there are conflicts, and I think the similarities are they're both people in need, and most all of them have been chased out of their homes multiple times.
As Myanmar's government struggles to bring peace to the country, groups like the Free Burma Rangers continue their deliveries of aid and a message of hope. Steve Sanford reporting from Karen State, Myanmar.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news from VOA Asia, China's foreign ministry says it sincerely hopes the meeting between the United States and North Korea will lead to peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula. President Xi Jinping has twice met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in the weeks leading to the summit. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, sunscreen. We use it to protect ourselves from the sun, but most sunscreens have harmful chemicals in them. Researchers in London have developed a compound found in seaweed that could help. VOA's Julie Tabo reports they may not only protect us from damaging rays, but may also act as an antioxidant.
Seaweed contains natural sunblockers, and researchers at King's College London wondered if it could be used to protect humans. The substance found in seaweed is pelethine, a kind of naturally occurring amino acid called MAA, found in marine organisms. It protects plants and animals that are exposed to sunlight all day long in shallow waters. The team wanted to see how pelethine worked on humans.
First of all, we grew skin cells in a petri dish, basically, and then we can irradiate those and look for markers of UV damage. So they could be DNA damage or markers of photoaging. And then we can apply the MAAs or the palathine to the cells to see if they're protective after we irradiate. So that's the first step. When we've got good results from this, which we have, we can take this to clinical trials and test them in humans.
Most sunscreens contain synthetic filters to block UV or ultraviolet rays, which, when washed off, can end up in our rivers and oceans and harm marine life. The research could help in developing a natural product that protects our skin without damaging the environment.
We've now been able to do all of the biological tests to actually prove that the MAA compounds are sunscreens. They can absorb in the UVA and UVB, which is quite unique for a single compound. But also what we found is that they act as natural antioxidants. So in a single molecule, we have three beneficial effects. We can protect against UVA, UVB, but also the antioxidant effect as well.
The team says more work is needed to prove their findings outside the lab, but they're already working with a cosmetics company and say an MAA-based sunscreen could be on the market as early as this year. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
If you doubt the speed at which the world is changing, just take a look at the digital media. In the last 20 years, the introduction of mobile and internet technology has spawned breathtaking advances in the sharing of information and commerce. Today, an estimated one quarter of the Earth's population uses the services of the internet. Two-thirds of us now own a mobile phone. But these advances into the digital age have been met with problems. Problems like state censorship, hackers, and identity theft, to name just a few. The Voice of America wants to know how the digital world has transformed your life. Or have they? We'd like you to tell us your story by writing or sending videos to our website, Twitter, or Facebook page. Find out more by visiting us at our webpage at voanews.com and then click on Digital Frontier. Tell your story and share it with the world through VOA's Digital Frontier.
Ben Lukompt is attempting to swim the entire Pacific Ocean for science. VOA's Steve Barragona tells us more.
Never again, he said, after swimming the Atlantic Ocean in 1998. But 51-year-old Ben Lecomte will be spending 8 hours a day for the next 6 months swimming the Pacific Ocean.
I think I like to push the limit, my personal limit, and try to find what that is, and also to respect the environment.
A sailboat carrying food, supplies, and research gear will follow him. His journey from Japan to California will take him through the Pacific Garbage Patch, an area three times the size of France where plastic pollution accumulates and threatens wildlife.
When I was little and I was with my father walking on the beach, I didn't see any plastic very hardly. And now every time I go with my kids, we see plastic everywhere. So it made me think, wow, all that happened in just 30, 40 years, so how it's going to be in the future? What is it going to be for my kids?
Lecomte will collect samples for researchers to study how plastic pollution affects life in the ocean and on land. Data for dozens of experiments will be gathered along the way, studying radiation from Fukushima, ocean chemistry and biology, and the effects of this extreme crossing on the swimmer's body and mind.
My body is just in autopilot, and everything that happened to my body, pain or being cold and all that, I try to put it aside. I try to think about my body just being a vehicle for me to do things.
A human vehicle burning 8,000 calories a day with nothing but a wetsuit and goggles between him and the boundless Pacific. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. As the Trump-Kim summit develops, we will be changing our programming as well. Listen for updates to VOA Asia on our website at voanews.com, and be sure to join us again tomorrow as we bring you a full recap of what happened at the summit and what lies ahead. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Zainab Abdel-Rahman, managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day.